gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Our Father, how great thou art in all the earth. You are worthy of our praise. Fathers, I stand before you and your children. Speak to me and through me. The word will go forth. Heavy hearts will be lightened. Where there's confusion, you will restore peace. We will leave here better people because we've heard from you. It's our prayer in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. To the triune Godhead, to these preachers that are with me, we have a card I want to read to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over, Luke 6:38. Praying the Lord blesses your giving heart in abundant measure. Thank you. Thanks to the Mount Zion family for your kind contributions toward my graduation. I appreciate it and will invest it into my start at college this fall. Loving you, Brother Andrew Frazier. Amen. Stand up, Andrew. Can we stand, y'all, with this young man to say congratulations? We really need to show our young black men that are on the right road that we love them and appreciate them. Now, when you, whatever team you decide to play for, I'm not a prophet, but I'm speaking a little prophecy. I hope you wear that black and gold. But if you don't, I ain't gonna hate on you. But I get upset that you forget about your pastor. Don't give me no tickets. Amen. Amen. The gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 9. Our church family have been hit hard. Hit hard. Chapter 9, verse 28. And the word of God says, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. I want to talk about Jesus. I believe you can do it. Jesus, I believe. Thank you, Ursus. You can do it. Someone told me the following week, Pastor Green, something has to be done. Another person told me, Pastor Green, what are y'all preachers are going to do about this? And I don't mean to hurt no one's feelings, but I had to tell her how I felt. I told baby, I said, baby, it's not the preacher's job to raise your child. Preacher's job is to guide your child to Christ. But that which is implanted in that child should begin at home. But in spite of our mishaps and our mistakes, and the outcome of mistakes that have been made, I come by to tell you this morning, Mount Zion family, I still believe Jesus can do it. Regardless of how many funerals we've been through, how much violence that we are experiencing, I have no doubt, regardless of what we are going through, Jesus can still do it. And it's not that God has walked away from man. It's man have walked away from God. God gave man a divine contract in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, he says, then will you hear from heaven. You see, man is in breach of contract. God's bargain still on the table, but we have walked away from him. You want to know why those in the slavery days still made it? Because even though they had to pick cotton with chains on their back, they still held hands saying, we shall overcome. When they couldn't go through the front door but had to have their food handed to them through the back door, they still believed that God is going to make a way somehow. When they were treated less than animals, but yet they believed they were somebody because they were fearfully and wonderfully made, they made it over. But now the problem is, my African American friends, we've made it over. And now we've walked away from God, and everything else have come into our lives. I remember on Sunday morning, it wasn't up for negotiation to go to church. I didn't have to tell my mama I don't feel like going, and I stayed home. When I didn't feel like, I told her I was sick, she said, come on to church. Jesus can heal your body. Mama, I can't find my church shoes. Come barefooted. Jesus went everywhere he could. I still believe, Reverend Slaughter, he can do it. Regardless of what we face, I believe he can do it. And when I look at the word believe, in the biblical sense, it means more than simply agreeing in our minds that something is true. But when you look at the word believe, it means to receive information into your mind, accept it as being true, but watch this, have enough confidence in what you believe that whatever you need, it will come to pass. So if I believe Christ can do it, regardless of what needs to be done, he will do it by his own terms. When I truly believe, then I believe with expectancy. I just don't believe for the sake of believing. I believe with expectancy. In other words, when I say I believe Christ can do it, that means that he will do it, but I just have to wait until it is done. And see, the problem now, we in a fast-paced society. We want everything we want, and we want it right now. If God don't show up now, then I find other means to get it done. But I come to discover, when you try to do things without God, you are a failure in progress. This text that we have before us, it shows us that it can be done. In this text, the Bible says that in verse 27, that when he departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Before Jesus shows up, they are all alone in their circumstance. They are all alone in their darkness. no one to aid nor to assist them. But Jesus showed up. And when Jesus shows up in the text, they didn't feel alone anymore. Because when one sense goes, another sense amplifies. With them not being able to see, that means they were able to hear well. And I'm quite sure before Jesus showed up, people were talking about Christ. And they heard the name of Jesus before Jesus showed up. You're going to miss your praise cue. Jesus had never showed up yet, but they heard about what he had already done. Somebody was whispering that he told a man to pick up his bed and walk. Somebody was whispering that he took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Somebody was whispering that a woman with a 12-year-old issue reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and her 12-year-old issue was dried up. Somebody was whispering that he went to Jairus' house, put his hand on a 12-year-old daughter that was already dead and said, Talitha kumi, and the girl got up. Somebody was whispering that when the storm was raging, he walked on the water, stood on the ship, and said, peace be still. Somebody was whispering that he went into town and in the villages and healed those that were sick. Then somebody messed around and said, Lazarus been dead for 4 days. They gave up on Jesus, thought he was too late. And he just stood at the foot of the hill of the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead that was dead for 4 days came alive again. But they didn't stop whispering then. Somebody was whispering about a mother that was going to bury her only child. And he touched the brow and the child was risen again. I wish I had somebody to testify. And when these blind men heard that the same Jesus was in their vicinity, they said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Yeah, you're missing your praise cue. They heard about Jesus before Jesus showed up. And see, that's what I want to tell somebody here this morning. You might be going through something and you feel that he hasn't showed up yet. But if you just shout on what you already heard, that when he show up, that he'll handle your situation. Can I talk to those few people in here right now? He hasn't showed up yet, but can you shout on what he's already done? Can you shout when you heard that he healed somebody's body? Can you shout when you heard that he took care of us in the pandemic? Yeah, I'm still struggling. I'm still having my problem, but I come to Mount Zion to shout on what I've already heard. These two blind men together in the same predicament, but they were together. And you know, Brother Sapp, what got me about the text, what really arrested my attention? How could two blind men find each other? Now, they got to feel their way through life, but somehow they found each other because they were associated by the same mutual defects. And see, when you got hatred in your heart, you're going to find folk just like you. Even when you come to church and you don't really want to be here and you just come here to fold your arms and stick out your lip and complain about, you're going to find a pew with people just like you. Associated by the same mutual defects. How can the blind lead the blind? Parents, can I holler at you? The Bible says, speak a word in season. How can you raise your child when you need raising? Father, how can you raise your son when you and him drinking out the same 40? Mama, how can you raise your daughter when you and her in the mirror getting dressed to go to the same club? Then you get mad at your daughter because the man you got your eyes on got his eyes on your daughter. Hey, if the shoe is too tight, loosen up the lace. Watch this. Children, let me holler at you. You tell me you're grown. No job. No source of income. Still eating at my table. Eating the food that I bought. And you're going to stand up in my house and tell me you're grown? Don't tell me you're grown. Show me you're grown. Jesus, watch this. They are associated by the same mutual defects, but Jesus shows up, and when he shows up, they begin to cry, "Thou son of David." Thou son of David is his messianic title. So when you hear son of David, that means that somebody believes that he is the promised Messiah. Because the promised Messiah was prophesied to come through the seed of David. And so when you see here, son of David, they are telling Jesus, we believe that you are God in the flesh. Wait a minute. Hold on. Something is bothering me here. Two blind men who can't see but saw Jesus. They can't see. But they saw Jesus for who he was. But then those who have sight saying, what manner of man is this? Let me say it again. They couldn't see him, but they said, thou son of David. But the disciples, when he calmed the storm, saw him, and they asked, what manner of man is this? Some of your eyes are wide open, but you're still blind. Here, these blind men. They said, watch the text. They begin to follow Jesus blind. Their sight wasn't restored yet, but they are following Jesus still with their defects. See, a lot of you try to make a bargain with God. If you do this, then I praise you. If you deliver me, then I'll do this. Well, if you really love God, you should be doing it before he even answered your prayer. You ought to just be glad he's hearing your prayer. They are following Jesus. These blind men who couldn't see anything but know that deliverance was in their vicinity. These blind men, they followed him. They're associated by the same mutual defects. Watch this. They are walking and they're still not healed yet. They're following Jesus and their requests have not yet been granted. Y'all not getting me? They're following Jesus and they're still in the struggle. They're following Jesus. They're still dealing with the heartache. They're following Jesus. They're still dealing with the heartbreak. And here you are, just because you've been disappointed one time. Want to walk away from the church? Want to blame everybody in the church? Baby, he didn't say in this life everything's going to be a bed of roses. He said in this life you're going to have hard trials and tribulations. He said, but be of a good cheer. And I can't speak for you all in here, but every time I walked in the church, everything wasn't going right in my life. I've had trouble in my life. I had disappointment in my life. But it has nothing to do with how good God has been to me. And don't let your trouble stop you from your testimony. Don't let your problem stop you from your praise. Don't let your situation hinder your shout. Can I talk to a few people right now that's going through something at this present moment? Can you stand up anyway and say, God, you've been good to me. You've been disappointed, but God, you've been good to me. You've been lied on. Your heart's been broken, but God, you still been good to me. They following him, and he hasn't done nothing for them yet. They following even when nothing is happening. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Their requests, no answer. They're following Jesus, and he's not even responded. Prayers are not being answered, but they keep
on following. Nothing is happening. They're still blind. Look, watch this. Here we go. They prayed the right prayer. They called on the right name. And they're still blind. Sometimes, and this is nothing long and theological or ecclesiastical, it is something very simple. Sometimes you just gonna have to wait. Let me say it again. Sometimes you're just gonna have to wait. It reminds me, Tiger, when you're in school and it's testing time. Before the test, the teacher is on the board explaining to you everything you need to know. Hear me good. Preparing you for the test to come. While she's talking or he's talking, you're quiet. Am I on it, Sister Esther? While the teacher is talking, the students are quiet. Y'all got it, right? Because you're supposed to be quiet because you're supposed to be listening and paying attention. Because what he is, she is teaching you, you're going to have to know when testing time comes. But the day of the test, watch this, the teacher is quiet and wondering, were you listening when they were talking? Now watch this. Here's your praise cue. You're being tested on what you've heard and learned. The teacher is not saying anything. But here's the praise cue. Although the teacher is not saying anything, they're still in the classroom with you. While God is talking here on Sunday morning, he's wondering, are you listening to what I'm trying to tell you? Because your test is just right down the road. And when your test come, it's going to seem like God is silent because he wants to know where you're listening when I was talking. And now that I'm silent, here's your test, but you should praise me anyway because I'm still in the classroom with you. John Allen, my teacher, when he would walk around the room during testing time, and he would peep down at your paper, and his own little sly way, he'll try to help you out. When he looked and saw you had the wrong answer, he'll go, So that means I need to go back and redo this thing again. He come back to me again. Well, it was a lot of oomph with me. But one day he went, Watch this. During your test with God, sometimes God whispers in your ear, he go, I'ma hate them like they hate me, I'ma get them like they got, But when you say, I'm going to love those that despitefully use God, I'm going to praise God in spite of my circumstance, My heart's been broken, but I made up in my mind, I'm going to bless the Lord at all, Make a joyful noise unto the, Serve the Lord with gladness, Here they are, following the Savior. No requests have been given to them yet. But watch this. Jesus tries to expand their perspective. Because look at the text. As they were following him in verse 28, he brought them into the house. Y'all just missed your praise cue. You weren't paying attention while the teacher was talking. Jesus, when he met them, they were in one location. But just the idea they was willing to follow him regardless, he took them to another location. Y'all not getting it. He hadn't answered their prayers yet, but he moved them. He haven't granted their requests, but now they're in a different place in life. See, when you follow Christ in spite of, he's going to take you where you used to be to where you are right now. And watch this. When he gets them in the house, Now he talks to him. See, the problem with us, we don't want to go to the how. This is where God talks to you at. Watch this. He gets them in the house and he asks the question. Do you believe I can do this? And when I looked at this text, Sister Wanda, I said, I wonder what these black men. Because y'all know, yeah, Lord. Some other races say, yes, Lord. But y'all know us, yeah, Lord. It's right there in the text. I didn't make it up. When he said, do you believe I could, they say, yeah, Lord. We haven't followed you this way if we didn't believe. We wasn't praising your name like this if we didn't believe. We wasn't lifting up hands in the sanctuary without a dime in my pocket. Don't know how I'm going to pay bills if I didn't believe. Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? They say, yeah. Watch what Jesus does. When they say, yeah, Lord, he touched their eyes. And their eyes became open. And the first face they saw was Jesus' face. Y'all not getting it. When your blind eyes been open, the first face you shouldn't see is your boo. But the one that opened up your blind eyes, and his name is Jesus. And they, when they opened up their eyes to the south, they saw one like hair like lamb wool. Eyes like ball of fire, feet the color of polished bronze, and the sweetest voice you can ever hear. He said he touched them and their eyes were open. Now watch this. Before we go home, he touched them where they needed to be touched. Yeah. Rum Dearborn, you hit it. Buying guns back is not touching. Having these rallies is not really touching. You need to touch them where the problem is. Their heart needs to be changed. Oh, I got to say this, and I don't care if you don't like me when I say it. They came to me. Some people come to me. Being a church of this size, Rem Green, we want to have a Black Lives Matter rally. And I said, no, not here you won't. All right. Reb, we got to do, no. You're not going to have a Black Lives Matter rally to me. Because I have a problem with that. Now, get me wrong. Cops shouldn't be killing our unarmed black men. But I got a problem with us with the T-shirts and the signs. Okay, these two young men just got killed. Wasn't by no white cop. Where your T-shirts at now? Where your picket signs now? If black lives really matter, does it only matter when somebody white take us out? It shouldn't matter even when we take each other out. So don't come to me with that foolishness that black lives matter. Where do we draw the line? Where the T-shirts at now? Why we ain't marching down Alexandria now? Why we not marching down Monroe Street now? If black lives truly matter. Soon as a white cop kill us, here we go growing in hands walking down the street. And we should, don't get me wrong. But we got to look at this thing from a different standpoint. When their eyes were open, they saw Jesus. Look, he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. In other words, they said, don't tell no. Jesus said, don't tell nobody what I done for you. And I can imagine, Brother Brass, as they were walking away, I don't mean to be disobedient, but God been too good to me. Now, I know he just healed us.